We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
We have been on this series about our identity as it relates to what Jesus said, that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we've been exploring the whole issue of why would he say that? We realize that he's saying that because of our identity, who we are. And because of who we are, he was bold to say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so we have covered ground, because we started by looking at saying we are a spiritual house, meaning that the architect of this house is Jesus Christ. We spoke about how we are a royal priesthood that is in the order of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us, that we are all special and that God wants to use us to show his glory. And we also spoke about being a chosen people. A chosen people, not because we are clever, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased us. And this morning we are looking at this little phrase, a holy nation. A holy nation. I don't want to approach this from an intellectual place where we talk of a nation as kind of having certain attributes, because that's not the intention of Peter here in saying a holy nation, not at all. The intention of Peter is to tell us about holiness. What is holiness? We don't talk about holiness anymore in our pulpits, because it's a concept that has been lost along the lines. But I want to go to where Peter is getting this from, because he says, you are a holy nation. He's talking about the people of God. He's talking about Christians, and he says, you are a holy nation. A holy nation is central to the Christian understanding of the gospel, because the gospel does not begin with us or our response to God. It doesn't begin with us. The gospel begins with God. It is where we start from. With God himself, he reveals himself as the holy God. In fact, the most popular statement in the whole Bible is, I am holy. I am holy. And this is God himself speaking about his nature. One of his major attributes in the scriptures is holiness. And then when you come to the New Testament, it is Peter who reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, he says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. I'm sounding a bit loud. Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is God. Peter is quoting what God said in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. And he reminds us that we are a holy people, not because we are special, but because he who called us is holy. We are called to be holy because he is holy, talking about God. So to be in relationship with God is to be brought into the household of holiness. So you can't be on speaking terms with God and be ignorant about holiness. You can't. So the word itself, holiness, means to separate or to set apart or to distinguish. That's holiness. It is therefore, it's referring to our position in relation to God, or in relation to the world. And the world is caught up in sin. The world has an issue because the world does not look like the way God intended it to be like. Hence, the issue of holiness is central to they that call themselves the people of God. So though we're living in this world, It is Jesus who reminds us that we are not of this world. Is that true? We are not, we don't belong to this world. We belong to God. And we belong to God who is holy. Our God is a holy God. So the Holy Spirit, actually, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit has put a seal on us. A seal points to who owns us. So the Holy Spirit has put a seal on us as if to say to the world, these ones belong to me, a holy God. So we are called to reflect God's holiness through our words, through our deeds, and also through our lifestyle. Our lifestyle must reflect God. We can't be confused about this part of our being Christians. We are a people that belong to God. Therefore, when we come together corporately, we are called a holy nation. A holy nation. And the nation that Peter is talking about here is not a nation as described by geography or territory or even culture. That's not what he's talking about here. It's a nation that is defined by its spirituality. Where is it coming from? Where did church come from? This nation has nothing to do with your geography. It's a holy nation that is not rooted in time, in place, or in any tradition whatsoever. This nation is made up of every tribe, every tongue. And isn't it interesting that Scripture actually does not have the word race? Race is a social construct. Scripture does not talk about race. It talks about tribes, ethnies, nations, or ethnicities, and languages. That's what Scripture talks about. So when we talk about a holy nation, I don't want you to start thinking about your passport. What color your passport is. That's not what this... This is not the idea that Peter had in mind, you know, today that where I live or where you fly in and out of. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, the word nation is deceiving, to be honest, because nation in the Scripture is used in relation to your ethnicity. Ethnicity is much smaller than a nation. So, for example, we say the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is made up of four ethnic groups. We call them countries. Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and England. But you notice that these four countries speak different languages, ethnicities. You with me so far? You look very... Okay, let me keep... for example, I used to think that Nigeria has got only four tribes. You can tell how ignorant I was. But I realized that there are over 300 tribes in Nigeria. Is that correct? Or at least languages spoken. Now, it means there are over 300 ethnicities. But the United Nations says the nation of Nigeria. But heaven says ethnicities. You with me so far? So when Peter is saying we are a holy nation, we are identified by our spirituality. He's talking about, I think it's Paul who says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. We are a holy nation, not defined by territory, not defined by race, not defined by language, but defined by the cross, defined by a holy God. He's our God. So if you're still struggling about this being an African church, an English church, a Norfolk Park church, you are getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. If you're looking for a long-lost cousin who speaks your language here, you are mixed up, because this is a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, the King James says. That's what Peter has in mind. All this I'm talking about has been made possible by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We are no longer defined by our national heritage. We're no longer defined by our ethnicity or race or where we live. But we, in fact, if we are looking for a description of who we are, the Bible says we are now ambassadors of Christ. How can you be an ambassador if you have a wrong passport? You with me? So we belong to the same nation. And this nation is called a holy nation. It's not defined by things we hear from the press or the media. It's not defined by people, things we hear from our neighbors. It's defined by heaven. That's why we're peculiar, because people look at us and say, how is it that you're all friends? How is it that you're all one big family? How are you doing it? It's Christ. That's how we do it. It's Christ. That's a, so if a Japanese person was to come here and say, you know what? I love SCC Church. I can assure you, you will learn Japanese songs in this church while I'm here. Whether you speak Japanese or not, it is not my problem. It's because it's a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. That's what matters to God. More than anything else that we get divided about, this is what matters. So, what does it mean to be called a holy nation? Number one, this is what it means to be called a holy nation. First is, we are called to be image bearers of God. I want to go behind the thought of Peter here and say, what did Peter mean when he said a holy nation? We need to go to the beginning. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26, the Bible reads, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, imagine God decides to create a human being. And then he comes up with an idea of saying, I'm going to make something called man. And then he creates two receptacles, one called male, one called female. And then he puts himself in these two receptacles. And then he says, I want you to dominate the earth. I want you to govern the earth. You don't own the earth. It's mine. I'm giving you stewardship over the earth. That's what he did in Genesis chapter 1. And so he says, but while you're doing this, I'm going to give you my image. You're going to be created like me. He's not talking physical. Again, you need to understand this. I don't know whether you've seen pictures of Jesus being black, Jesus being white, Jesus being Indian. I've seen them. Because the idea is you worship a God who's like you physically. That's not the idea of what Scripture is talking about. When he's talking about likeness, he's talking about likeness in the sense that morally we can choose to worship God. Okay, you can choose, you got a mind, you can decide that I choose to worship the living God. But secondly, you have the relational capacity to communicate with God and understand when God is communicating with you. That's what it means. But thirdly, you have the capacity to reflect the image of God by being a witness of him. That's what it means to be met in the image of God. So God can speak to you, you can hear him, you can understand him. That's what a dog cannot understand God. But a human being has the capacity to hear from God. So if you pray to God, he will hear you. We had the testimony. This is where we get mixed up. You know, I've heard people say, why do you shout when you pray? Of course, the quick answer is, you're an African, that's why you pray like that. That's not true. I had some lovely English brothers and sisters here saying they shouted. Did you hear that? So shouting has nothing to do with your ethnicity. Shouting has got to do with issues you are going through your life and what's happening between you and God. Some things move you and put you, they drive you to do certain things out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. So when we're talking about being the image bearer of God, we're talking about showing something of the holiness of God here on earth. Because that's, Adam and Eve were created in an environment of holiness. So what came out of God was holy, right there in the garden. So out of that holiness, they were supposed to exhibit it to the earth. But sin came into the earth. And from that moment onwards, that holiness was messed up. It was blurred. It was no longer clear. Man decided to get into sin. And God kept searching, saying, I want to get in there. I want to show my holiness in there. And it came to a place where God's holiness was reduced to a little room called the Holy of Holies. That's the only place where his holiness was manifest, but only to one man called the high priest who came in there once a year. And God is like, it can't be like this, but there was no man. He says, I'll search for a man who could stand in the gap. There was no one. So generation after generation, God was locked up in this little box kind of room called the Holy of Holies. That's not what he intended. His plan was to create a holy nation. But now he was reduced to a little box called the Ark of the Covenant. That leads us to the second thing. What do we mean by a holy nation? Well, we are called to be an outpost of the holiness, of his holiness on earth. What does that mean? So, God has been waiting for the moment where he could do things afresh or almost redo them. Because, see, holiness has its roots in the presence of God. It's about the presence of God. When we talk about the holiness of God, we are talking about the presence of God. When a church is holy, or at least values holiness, then the presence of God is not an issue to manifest in that place. But when a church compromises on the statutes of holiness, then it's an invitation for sin to reign. So whenever a Christian is running away from holiness, they are inviting the presence of sin in their lives. But when we approach God, we are inviting his presence. Because God is holy. John 1 verse 14. In John 1 verse 14, we read about God breaking into the earth to solve a big problem. So he breaks into the earth. He says, listen, I can't continue being in this Holy of Holies room. And then he breaks through into humanity in the form of himself, the Son of God. Because he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then look at the Word. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's a new dispensation there being ushered. That's what we call the incarnation. So Jesus comes to say, okay, I've now come, but his coming was not so that he could live on earth on and on. His coming to earth was so that he could go to the cross, die, pay the price, and then give the church the glory. Dwell among his people. That was the intention of God. For in Matthew 16, what does he say? He says, on this revelation that Peter gave, he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against what the church that is building, this holy church that is building, this holy nation that is building. If a nation is holy, then you have nothing to worry about because he will defend it. God will defend. So the church is destined by God to be an outpost of His holiness. That's the intention. The church was never meant to be to belong to a man or to belong to a woman. The church was never meant to carry somebody's name except the name of Jesus Christ. You can't own the church. Even if it has your name on it. You don't own it. It belongs to God. And then He defines us. So, where does God dwell? Well, He told us, didn't He? He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I will be also. How many people do we have here? More than two. More than three. So, we know by faith, based on the scriptures, that God is with us. God is among us based on scripture. Not what we feel, but based on scripture, by faith. By faith. So, in the original Holy of Holies, the presence of God had a fixed address. People had to go to a specific place to meet with God. You remember in the Old Testament. But then in the New Testament, when Jesus ascended to the Father, He gave the disciples a promise that I'm coming. I'll come and dwell in you by His Spirit. So now instead of having a fixed location, what happened is there are now millions of holy of holies called you and I, carrying the presence of God because He dwells inside of us. So the Holy of Holies has been multiplied upon multiples to be all over the place. Hence, we are called a holy nation. We are all over the place. You go to Tesco, you will meet a holy nation there. You go to an engineering company, you will meet a holy nation there. You go to NHS, you meet a holy nation there. You go to church, oh, you see lots of us. We are all over the place, and there's nothing the devil can do about that. That's what Peter's saying. You are now a holy nation. We're people of God. So we are an outpost of His holiness on earth. You might be the only believer in the company where you are. Guess what happened? Heaven is banking on you to be an outpost of His holiness. No one else. You are. You are. But heaven is backing you. You're not alone. Heaven is backing you, saying, yes, you can do this. Yes, we're behind you. Because you are a holy nation. You're not alone. You're part of God's kingdom. So if the church ceases to be holy, then the presence of Jesus will not be manifest. It will be compromised. So the church is not just about salvation. It's actually about showing the glory of God. We are the new Holy of Holies. And Jesus Christ is the foundation of this Holy of Holies. But not only that. There's another thing to say. Holiness is about God's presence in our lives. It's about His presence in our lives. Listen to what 1 Peter 1, 15, 16 says. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16 is really getting close to us. Says, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy, not in only how you look, but it says, in what you do. Try New King James. In all you do, for it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Holiness in the Bible is described in the context of a relationship with God. It's never as an abstract doctrine. It's always described in the context of how we relate with God. How do you engage with God? How is your fellowship like with God? How are things between you and God? That is what defines holiness. It's not something that hangs on a wall and say, God is holy. No, holiness is right where you are. How are you doing with God? That is holiness. Whenever we sin, or at that moment when we choose to sin, we are actually choosing to be away from the presence of God. But at that moment when we embrace holiness, we are choosing to be in His presence. Because we are choosing to be set apart for Him. We are choosing to be separated for Him. This is where we use the term sanctification. Sanctification means I'm choosing to be in His presence and allow Him to work in my life in such a way that I become more and more like Him. More and more like Him and not like somebody else. So when we talk about walking with God, the presence of God being with us, we're talking about how God transforms our hearts. He renews our minds. He changes our way of thinking. Things that we used to hate about God, we realize that there is a change that is happening and we can't understand it, but it's the Holy Spirit that is manifesting His ministry in our lives. That is what holiness is about. That's how you work it out. You don't work out holiness by reading a lot of theology. It's a personal thing. You and God. Where are we with you and God? Where are you with you and God? Transforms your whole life. Have you heard people say, after you've been following Jesus Christ, people come to you and say, you are different now. And you're like, what have I done? I'm just going to church, I'm reading my word, I'm praying. And they're like, no, you are different now. What they mean is that there is a holiness of God that is being transferred into your life. Another term for that is righteousness. The righteousness of God is beginning to be worked out in your life in a way that is affecting your conduct. Unless that is happening in our lives, Christianity is a lot of hard work. Now, someone might ask, Pastor, are you saying that holy people don't sin? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they still sin. It's true, they do sin. But what I'm saying is that this is the main difference between a person who's sanctified and a person who's not. The main difference is that in the life of a sanctified person, sin is their permanent enemy. They don't want to be close to sin. It might happen, but they don't live there. However, in a believer that is not really, really sanctified, seeking God more, that type of a believer, the only difference with that believer is that sin is their secret lover. They love it. Even though they say, I'm a holy nation, it's sin that sends a different message. So, if you're a believer, and sin is your secret love, you got to go back to God. Say, God, help me. It's got to be broken. The bondage to sin is not taking you to where Jesus Christ is. Without holiness, you will not see God. You can't play in the mud and still want to step on your mom's carpet. There's got to be a cleaning up that happens before you get in the house. So it's same in scripture. You want to be in good relationship with God, in fellowship with God, the blood of Jesus Christ is available to cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. That is why it's there. There is a way. We never stop growing in God's grace. It's a lifetime process. So, for example, a person that is pursuing the holiness of God, if someone were to ask you, so how are you doing? Your response should be, I'm improving. You can't say, I've arrived. No, I'm improving. Or other people say, I'm work in progress. I'm under construction. That's accurate. Because indeed, we are all under construction. We have not arrived yet. Yes, there is a level of maturity expected of you. For example, in this church, we do discipleship. So if you have done new life in Christ, I expect you to have a level of maturity where at least you can recite Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Is that correct? Someone help me here. Are there people who have new life in Christ in here? Someone help me. How does it start? Come on, I can't hear you. Okay. Let me hear this side. Can you help me? I can't hear you. Is this our worship team here? Come on, let's start. Well done. I'll let you go with that one. There is a level of maturity that God expects. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, tells us, say, I expect you now to have understood the elementary matters, but you are still on milk. That's what he says. Meaning, God, even though we are improving, he expects us to be progressing at a certain pace in his holiness. Amen. You know what? We actually have got to help, because Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be my witnesses. Now, here's the thing. We are not alone. We are not trying to do holiness on our own. This is not a private business. What God does is, from heaven, he releases the Holy Spirit to help us to be a holy nation. We can't be holy in our own power. We need the Holy Spirit. But we need to invite him into our lives. We need to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me to be a man or woman who's passionate about you. So he empowers us to be witnesses. God is not just after avoiding sin. He's after producing fruit. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you produce fruit to the same degree you need him to sanctify you. That's a holy nation. When you are part of the holy nation, you have to be familiar with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he is very central to your becoming holy. Now, let's say you say, you know what, Pastor, I hear you, but the Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure about that. So I'll try my own ways of being holy. People have tried that. For example, people tend to a certain type of dress. And then when you dress, imagine SCC having a dress code, right? So we will measure centimeters from here to the, for ladies. So we will measure. As you get in there, we will have the ushers lined up to measure with measuring tapes. Okay? So how long is your skirt? And then they will have a register, holiness on the left. Is that what we want? See, we're putting our own standard of holiness based on how you dress physically. So you are judged by how you dress. Now, that doesn't mean that dress is not important. It is. There's a place for that. There's a place for that. But sometimes people measure holiness by how many scriptures you can quote. Not how many scriptures you leave, but how many you can quote. So all you need is a trained brain. Not holiness. Trained brain to quote scripture, because the devil quotes scripture too. But he's not holy. So what shall we do as a church? Are we going to use the standards of the world to say, okay, let's call an accountant to say, who gives the most in SEC? You must be holy. Is that what we want to do? Because there are standards in the world. So all these holy people, according to the standards of the world, are then given titles. Say, okay, now you're a bishop. Yeah, you must be an elder. Yeah, why? Because you always dress in nicely. You give the most. You quote more scripture. And they have an eldership that heaven doesn't recognize. You with me? Do you see the dangers of sidelining the requirements of holiness in a church? We need Spirit to help us. So we cry out to the Holy Spirit, say, Spirit of God, help us, make us holy, so that we are like God. That's why you need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the experience of forgiveness, the whole issue of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole issue of people being healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit at work who's healing, who's delivering, who's breaking chains and setting people free from bondages. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a gimmick. It's the power of God. That's what he does. A holy nation. Okay, finally, our time is up. Holiness must find expression in God's mission to the nations. I'm just fascinated by Peter, so I'm going to stick to Peter here. We find a scripture in Acts chapter 2, from verse 17, 1-7. I'm just going to read 17 and 18. Something happened in chapter 2 because the Holy Spirit showed up in chapter 1, in verse 1. He says they were sitting in one room when the day of Pentecost had fully come. The Holy Spirit announced himself, and the way he announced himself, there was wind, there was thunder, and then there were tongues of fire that circled on 120 people that were gathered in the upper room that day. And then something broke out. They heard a sound. People started speaking in tongues all over the place in the upper room. And the city was shaken. People ran to hear what's happening. And when they got there, they heard them praising God in their languages. There were all sorts of nations that were gathered. Egyptians were there. Iranians were there. Africans were there. People from Europe were there. All of them were in one place. And they heard them praising God in their languages, and yet they had not learned their languages. Now that tells you God was setting something up right by the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus Christ had ascended. And then they were confused. They say, what does this mean? Are they drunk? And Peter says, it's only 9 in the morning. Surely they can't be drunk at 9 a.m. And then he gives an answer. He interprets what was happening because the earth now was confused. What's going on? Here's what he says, verse 17. But this was what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you must understand that prophets like Joel, prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, the times when they were preaching were difficult times. People were wicked. There was sin in the camp. There was no hope for what will happen tomorrow. But Joel still gave that prophet and says, a day shall come when the Spirit of the Lord shall be poured upon people, when your sons and daughters shall prophesy, when men, old men and old women shall have visions. He prophesied at a time when people didn't believe that. Jeremiah, he prophesied, says, and a time shall come when you'll be given a new heart, a heart made of flesh, not of stone. They prophesied. And when you read Acts chapter 2, that day came. The Holy Spirit broke through and he said, listen, I've come. And the reason I've come is so that you may be witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Britain is an uttermost part of the world as far as that prophecy is concerned. But you know, God is not finished yet. The holiness of God has got to be unleashed on the nations. Our job is to take this holiness of God into the nations, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces. That's what being salt and light is about. That's exactly what God is talking about. He's talking about spreading scriptural holiness to the nations. We don't take a half-baked gospel. We're not trying to build something that is candy and sweet to the lost world. Try to buy them off with some little candies of the gospel. We want to spread scriptural holiness. That without holiness, you will not see God. I'm not talking about a gospel of judgment and fire. There's a place for that. Because the Bible has already told us that he came full of grace and truth. So we can't lie to people about their destiny. But at the same time, there is the grace of God to save them. The grace of God. The gospel has got an inbuilt process of grace. Inbuilt provision of grace. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, what does Jesus say? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. How did he know? He was talking to Jews, but he says to them, I want you to go to the nations. I want you to go and make disciples of nations. Why? Because you are a holy nation. Even while they were starting, even while they thought they were only for the Jews, the prophecy was clear. The command was clear. You are a holy nation. That's why I want you to go make disciples of nations. So when you look around the people you're sitting here right now, you will notice that not all of them speak your language, as in your vernacular language. You are in the midst of God's prophecy right now. A holy nation. This is what Peter was talking about. You are a holy nation. Why? Because you come out of a holy God. Our mission is to build a holy nation, to participate in a holy nation, to belong to a holy nation. If you are still looking for a little thing that speaks a certain language in its own way, if you are still looking in a parochial way about the gospel is for every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. This is what God had in mind. Nothing less, nothing more. This is in the heart of God that we go for nations. This is what SSC is about. You know, when we started this church many years ago, some people left this church because I'm from Zimbabwe originally. So when we came here, they said, wow, thank God the Zimbabwean pastor has come. So now we can build our own thing. I miss Zimbabwean culture. I said, you're in the wrong place. I look Zimbabwean, but that's not my nation spiritually. You have missed the point. If you are looking for a Zimbabwean church, I gave them the addresses of Zimbabwean churches. Thank God they took them and they left. I was a bad pastor. They didn't like me in this church. Because I told them, you don't speak your language from Zimbabwe here. Even me, I can't speak it. You know why I said that? I said that because I was trying to project something that God had shown me about SCC. This is not an English church either. It's not a Nigerian church. I hope you're aware of that. In case you're getting comfortable. Yes, we might serve ugali once a while during Taste of the World, but don't get lost. We might serve English breakfast once a while in the men's meeting. Don't get confused. We're trying to get something. We are trying to win souls for Christ. That's as far as it goes. So, we're a holy nation. Every tribe, every race, every nation, every tongue. You have a place here. You have a place. There's a seat for you here. Oh, and Zimbabweans too. You are welcome. Say amen. Amen. You look like you're going to stone me. Say amen. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. I want to thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for the men and women, for the children, for the different nationalities represented here. The different ethnicities represented here. Come on, talk to God. Thank God for what he's doing here. Why don't you talk to God? Say, Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we're a holy nation. Our prayer, Lord, today is we will see more nations come into this place. More nations, my God, not like us, not speaking our language, not from our tribe, but from all over the world. Because your church is for everybody. In the name of Jesus. Father, let doors open. Let doors open. The doors of our hearts. Let your house be known for nations coming to worship. in the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Glory be to God. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Glory. If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.